Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, one and all. Happy Wednesday, everyone. There we are. And welcome to IBD Live. It's Ali Coram here, Executive Editor, Multimedia. And joining me on the panel today, we have Mike Webster, our Senior Market Strategist, also Ken Shreve, Senior Markets Writer, and Harold Morris, Senior Product Coach. Good morning, guys.
Good
Howdy.
morning. Morning,
Happy
Allie.
Wednesday. Good stuff. And in the background, we have Chris and Ed and possibly some other team members as well to answer your questions. So speaking of your questions, we do have a Q&A and we welcome your questions and comments. Just be aware that we can't get to them all, even though we wish we could. You only see the questions that are answered, not the hundreds of unanswered questions that get submitted each day, but we do our absolute best to focus on the stocks and strategies most relevant to the current market. Now, regarding the Q&A, IBD does not provide any individualized or personal investment advice. We can't answer any question that reflects your individual situation, needs, or objectives. So please, when asking a question, do not give us any information about your personal situation. And IBD Live is for informational and educational purposes only. Please make sure to do your own research before making any trade. We are not making trade recommendations. So with all of that, Webby, kick us off with some tickers on your radar right now.
Yeah, we're going to look at Qs and SanDisk, and I do have positions in both.
All right. I also have a position in SanDisk. Let's go to Harold.
Well, good morning again. And I'm going to be looking at XBI, the biomed ETF.
All right. A bull
Bull put
put
spread.
spread.
Right. Bull put spread.
Good stuff, Harold. And now over to Ken for the morning headlines. Fill us in, Ken.
Will do. Yeah, let's take a look at futures. Got a few headlines here, including the latest reading from the Consumer Price Index. We've got small caps. Let's start with the IWM. That is lagging a little bit in the early going here. Small caps down 0.6% here. You can see that little bit of a reversal yesterday after a nice upside reversal the prior session. But small caps down 0.6% in the early going. Rest of the market not moving much. Last check, DIA, Dow Jones futures down 0.3%, and then very, very mild losses for the NASDAQ 100 and S&P 500 futures. Let's take a look at oil. That is really the focus of the market. At last check, oil was up 5%, near $88 a barrel after a big plunge Tuesday. We're supposed to be hearing from the International Energy Agency soon regarding potentially the largest ever release of oil from its strategic reserve. Haven't heard anything yet. Oil was quite volatile yesterday. WTI crude oil futures settled nearly 12%. Lower. Energy Secretary Chris Wright tweeted that the U.S. Navy had successfully escorted an oil tanker through the Strait of Hormuz Tuesday, but quickly deleted that tweet, and the White House refuted that claim. Soon after, U.S. intelligence sources said that Iran had mine-laying intentions in the Strait of Hormuz, so the U.S. Started bombing some dormant mine-laying vessels in the area. So lots of volatility in the oil market, and expect more of it today, I suspect. GLD, let's check in on gold. GLD was really not moving a whole lot in pre-market. It was mostly flat. Saw gold down just 1% or so, just below trading, just below 5,200 an ounce. Silver a little more volatile this morning. I was checking SLV. That was down 4% at last check. Silver was recently trading down near 86.75 an ounce. 10-year Treasury yield was up before the CPI data. It was up about 4 basis points. It's actually a little bit stronger now, trading up near 4.18%. The CPI data came in exactly as expected, month over month, up 3%. Core year over year, up 2.5%. That was in line with expectations as well. So no big news there. Take a look at Nebius. This is an AI infrastructure provider, also a data center operator, a big buyer of NVIDIA chips. It got a $2 billion investment from NVIDIA. NBIS is the symbol here. Nebius up 9% on a big NVIDIA investment. Earnings to talk about. Take a look at Oracle. Oracle, ORCL, up 9%. The real story here, another quarter of accelerating revenue growth, the fourth straight quarter of accelerating revenue growth for Oracle, up 22% to $17.2 billion. Overall, cloud revenue up 44% to $8.9 billion. That is making up more than half of total revenue. Cloud infrastructure revenue accelerates sequentially, up 84% to $4.9 billion. Obviously, spending concerns, increasing debt levels have weighed on the stock heavily. Oracle said it has no plans to raise further debt in its current fiscal year. Franco Nevada, FNV, like Victor. This is a gold streaming company, so they give miners upfront capital in exchange for future royalties from gold production. Look at the growth here for Franco Nevada. The bottom line up 95%, the top line up 86%. FNV, I think it was trading higher. It looks like it's trading lower. It was trading very light volume in pre-market. Drone maker AeroVironment, AVAV. This stock has just been having a whole lot of trouble. It is down 12% in pre-market trading. Look at the earnings and revenue here. Revenue was up 143% to $408 million. Well, the problem is the estimate was for $475 million. So it was a big revenue miss here. Earnings were a big disappointment as well. EPS miss as well. They guided full year earnings also below consensus. They guided full year earnings 275 to 310. You can see the consensus there of 309. So just a bad quarter of execution for AeroVironment. Cadre Holdings, CDRE, also getting hit here. This is a stock with an average daily dollar volume of 9 million. Thinly traded, very speculative, wide and loose. Safety products maker here. Earnings and revenue not only down from year ago levels, but also below expectations. Stock getting hit in the pre-market. Nike in the Dow outperforming. Barclays upgrades Nike to overweight from equal weight, raises the price target to 73 from 64. And then we also have an acquisition to talk about this morning. A couple of workplace uniform makers merging. Cintas down 3% on news. It is buying UniFirst, ticker UNF, like Frank. UniFirst is up 6%. On the news, Cintas is paying $5.5 billion in cash and stock for UniFirst. And so that's the merger to talk about. And then Ligand Pharmaceutical, LGND, nice breakout for Ligand yesterday. This is a company that also has a royalty-based model. So they give biotech and big pharma invest heavily in drug development, and then they collect royalties on drugs when they hit the market. So Ligand gets initiation from Bank of America with a buy rating and a 244 price target. I believe Ligand, it did break out yesterday, and it's still in the 5% buy zone here. So Ligand initiated with a buy rating from Bank of America. Those are the headlines, Ali, for this Wednesday, and I will throw things back over to you.
Much appreciated, as always. And now let's take a look at current market conditions to give the audience some color on how the team is handling the market and their portfolios. So, and I'm actually going to clear some drawings here. Let's start with you, Webby. Give us an update on where things stand with the current market and how history is guiding perhaps what you're seeing and how you're positioned.
Sure. So we are in day three of a follow through day watch, right? So on Monday, when we came down and touched the 200 day, we had undercut all the recent lows. So that reset everything as far as looking for a follow through day. And that was a clear and classic day one. They're not always that obvious, but that, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to work, but it's very, sometimes it's a gray of like, oh, is that really a rally or not, or just it didn't go lower. This one truly was a rally, a shakeout undercut, finding support at the 200 day. So the bulls really stepped up there. That makes that level extremely important. And, you know, it was also just above that low that we had back in November. So I was able to hold that one. But if you'll notice, it's been taking out, you know, all the marked lows along the way. And so we've had a high, you know, it, you know, you can pull up the SPY for a second, because
sure.
I have a little bit of a different look with the marked highs and marked lows. But so that one has been, you know, lower highs and lower lows as well. Now, the good thing about this is the good and the tricky part is that the SPY held above the 200 day. That's the bad part of that is the SPY is more important to the overall market than the NASDAQ is. We all follow the NASDAQ, but the rest of the world follows SPY. And the rest, of, we follow the 21 day and the exponential as well as the 50 day simple, the red line and the red line there. So, but the rest of the world really follows the 200 day. So the SPY at the 200 day is pretty much everything. That is the sun is out or you know, the sky is crying type of situation. So we could still, we could fail here and test that before we really get into any, you know, serious trouble. I think the news is really going to dictate everything. But let's go back to the NASDAQ on a daily, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
And because I know some people are new to the follow-through day system. Other people might just want a refresher. That was the low happened on Monday as well as day one. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes you can have a low and a day one that is different. Mm-hmm. So that's a topic for another day. So that was day one. Then on day two and day three, you don't do anything other than watch to make sure that the low of day one holds. And that's what we had. So today, as long as we hold that low on Monday, we're still in this rally attempt. You cannot have a follow-through day today. You can have a follow-through day tomorrow or after. It could be, you know, 2 days after. It could be 2 weeks after. It really doesn't matter. We've had follow-through days on the 28th day before. So what are we going to be looking for? An increase of 1% or more. I know that might seem like a small amount, but it is not for a follow-through day. That's all you need for a follow-through day. So tomorrow or after, 1% on the day, as long as we hold out low. And we still look at volume. I don't look at volume, but as far as IBD, we still want volume to be higher than the prior day. I'm going to ignore it because I ignore both sides. You can't ignore it sometimes and not others. But as a firm, calling a follow-through day, we'll need to have the volume higher than the prior day because that is the rule. And it's as simple as that. So right now, you're just waiting. If you're doing it from an orthodox standpoint, you're waiting. I was buying on on that day one because that's mm-hmm. just kind of my style. If you have an upside reversal, you have something to trade against. But that's not the system. That's not what Bill would say. Bill O'Neill, the founder of IBD. He would say you wait for the follow through day. Now that doesn't mean that he always waited for the follow through day. He bought before a follow through day. You know, people think he didn't, but he did if there were things in position, but he just wouldn't get bullish on the mm-hmm. overall market until you had a follow through day. So it would be stock specific. If he saw something in position that he liked, he would go ahead and buy it. But he would be more reluctant to buy anything, you know, in any big way until he got the follow through day. So that's where we're at. The most mm-hmm. important thing I would say is to keep an open mind The news is always terrible around a follow through day. And then you get either the market is able to digest the news, or you get a change in the news that changes the way the market is behaving. So don't pay attention to the news, pay attention to what the market is actually doing. And do we get a follow through day or not? Now, once you get a follow through day, then you've got to change the page and the rule books and then into your playbook, and then use the low of that day as your line in the sand. Right now, the day went low is the line in the sand. And then a little bit
Okay.
later, we could, I'm sure the audience wants to look at some individual stocks, so we could do that. And then let's
Sure.
circle back because I have some historical examples I'd like to look at.
Great. That all sounds like a plan. Okay, Harold, over to you. What are you seeing? We're waiting for the follow-through day. Are you making pilot position buys in the meantime, or what levels are you looking at? And you're on mute.
No, yeah, I am
Now
not.
you're good.
Okay, all right, thanks. No, I am not making any pilot moves because I just don't like the what's going on in the market. You look at the NYSE and RSP, and now that they're down below the 50-day on both indexes, that's telling you that your small and mid caps are struggling. So all the indexes that we look at. Small, mid cap, large cap, they're all below the 50-day. So that's weak breath. So I'm just not doing a whole lot until breath conditions can improve. And when we get a follow through day, that might be the catalyst for improvement in the small and mid cap area. But in the meantime, I'm just gonna wait and see what the market does. So I'm not gonna try to, get in early because and anticipate a new uptrend. I'm just going to wait and see what happens with the market.
Now, is that purely with your stock and ETF purchases, or what about the options that you trade? Are you waiting as well for any option trades?
Well, I do have an option trade on SPX. It's an iron condor, where iron condor is a neutral strategy where you got a call bull call sp I mean a bear call spread at the top right around 7,000 and a bull put spread at the bottom around on 6,700. And if it stays in the middle, then it's a profitable trade. So that's about the only thing I really have on at the moment. Outside of that, I am not pursuing anything other than what XBI. I saw XBI. XBI looks like it's setting up, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But your biotechs are doing very well. IBD on investors.com, we have a new highs list that gets updated every Friday. And I was looking at that list over the weekend, and a lot of your biotechs are making new highs. So that's an area of the market that you want to be is oil and gas stocks making new highs, and some of your biotechs are making new highs also.
Okay, great. And just really quickly back to SPY and that iron condor, sort of known as that a spread of spreads trade, right? You have two spread trades there, and wanting it to stay within a certain range. Do you I know this isn't the official trade of the week with you, Harold, but what sort of expiration are you, when did you put that on and what expiration are you looking at for that?
Well, same expiration. I always like to go 40, 45 to 60 days out. And I put that trade on, and I've had it on for about 2 weeks. So,
Okay.
it's been
So we're about a
fluctuating.
month, we're about a month out right now from your expiration.
So
Okay.
and it's been fluctuating. It when the market seems to go up, it has more of a bearish bias to the trade. So when the market declines, that's when this condor, and I didn't set it up purposely that way. I don't know why it's behaving that way, but when the market declines, it seems to do very well. When the market's going up, it gets kind of flat. But it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's making money while its market is in a range. Exactly what you want the iron condor to do. I'm not a big fan of iron condors, but I want to do something just to get some money to work in this trending or this range bound market.
So taking what the market gives you. So if we do, break below the low of that 670 level, How would you, or break out to new highs for that matter, how would you be adjusting that trade?
I'd be taking a trade off. In either case, if we get a breakout to the upside, I'll be taking it off. Breakout, break down below that lower, like that lower trend line you've got, I'd be taking a trade off. So either way, I'll be taking a trade off. That's telling me that market is out of that range bound situation. And if it's a breakout to the upside, then it looks like it'll be bullish. If it's a breakdown, it could be more of a bearish where you may see more of a sell off.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bonus option trade of the week here. Thanks, Harold. Okay, Ken, over to you. Give me your perspective and the leaderboard perspective on the market action.
Yeah, well, Dave and I were watching the market yesterday when it started to move higher, and you know, we came into yesterday very very lightly invested at the bottom part of that 20 to 40% band. I think we were, you know, 25% invested headed into yesterday, and pretty conservatively invested for several weeks. And you know, as the market was rallying, we were talking, and as we normally do, we were just looking at screens and seeing a lot of good action in individual stocks. And we said, well, look at this stock and look at this stock, and we said, you know, well, what if we go from 25 to 30%? Is that going to be, you know, really aggressive? Or what if we go from 25 to 35% invested? Are we going to be taking on a, you know, a lot of risk here? So we actually decided to put a couple of names on, and by day's end, we went from 25 to about 39% invested. So we put on Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, because we liked the action that it was showing at its 50-day moving average. And you know, it's up a little bit today. It had a nice upside reversal a couple of days ago at the 50-day moving average. It got pulled down with the broad market late yesterday. Did another pretty good monthly sales report yesterday. Sequentially, I think sales slowed, but you know, I think the overall number was pretty good. I think it was up 22%. So we think this is a, you know, high quality stock, and think the support so far at the 50-day moving average looked good, and we liked the way Caterpillar was looking as well. We talked about this name with David Ryan during our Tuesday meeting, and I thought the action at the 50-day moving average recently with Caterpillar was solid too. And then you know, we looked at a recent new issue that has sort of been really under the radar, and this is a ticker FPS. This is another data center company. It's a company that's been a bit wide and loose. We'll grant that Forgent Power Solutions, but you know, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan underwriters for this IPO. They do electrical distribution equipment for data centers, and done a little work here. Tried to clear an IPO base yesterday. We figured it was worth a shot. So it's a little bit below our entry here. And, you know, we realize that we're in a market here that is still early in a rally attempt. And we did take on a little bit of risk here by adding some names before we got signs of a confirmed uptrend, and we made, you know, subscribers aware of that. So we'll see how it goes. But we thought it was worth a shot and didn't take on a whole lot of risk here. But we're also in a market where, you know, if we get, you know, strength in the morning, we understand it's entirely possible that we can get a day like yesterday where, you know, strength in the morning is followed up by weakness in the afternoon. So we'll keep an eye out for that. But, you know, as Webby has explained here, we're also in position where the possibility of a follow through day is there as well. But we're in a kind of in a market where obviously headlines are in the oil market, and headlines regarding Iran are obviously dictating the action. So we're going to you know, continue to navigate this this market chop and stay somewhat conservative. But if we see stocks that are worth a shot, we'll give them a shot. And understanding the risk out there, we'll keep them on a tight leash.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll just give a quick update on what I'm doing because we're open books here. So I've been out of the game, out of the usual game.
What have you been doing, Allie?
I know. I think I was kind of raising a baby, but and still am. But so I've wanted to play a little more, and so I know that even though we haven't had a follow through day, that pilot positions can be, if you're managing your risk, something of interest. So I was really looking at that powerful reversal at the 200 day and found that very compelling, knowing that it may not work, right? So if people are out there, well, we haven't had the follow through day, I agree. And that's why with pilot positions in terms of risk management, going smaller. So going with a third of my normal position size or even less in some cases. And then if I see progress, adding to it, but if it triggers sell signals, then back away. So what I opted to do on that reversal day is I did buy a little SanDisk. I was looking at some of these leaders that we were talking about on the show and talking about stocks for our watch list. And this was a very compelling watch list name to me. So I did buy that bounce off of the 50-day, 10-week area and added a little bit yesterday. And this morning also a little bit of BE, not for the faint of heart, even higher ATR there. But again, small position, managing risk. We haven't had a follow through day yet. And then also a little bit of VRT. So a little bit of concentration. Ed's gonna slap my wrist for all this AI concentration. Mm-hmm. These are strong, very strong stocks. So I'm looking at the names that have had really impressive track records heading into this little bit of recent turbulence and now bounce that we've had. And then, of course, you guys know I love the ETF exposure, but I didn't go with TQQQ or even QLD. I bought just a little bit of QQQ. So that's an update on where I'm at in addition to that gold position that GLD that I've had since last summer. So speaking of SNDK, SanDisk, Webby, let's get your thoughts on this stock. You said that you have a position in it. And when we've been talking in recent weeks, you've said how you're looking at this like a high tight flag. Tell us more.
Okay. So I do have a position in it, and I did want to talk about it as a stock today, but I don't want people following me in on this. This is extremely risky. Huge ATR. It's way up there in nosebleed territory, but this is for the market, for what's going on in the market and the health of the market. And one of the things that Bill had taught us to do was to follow the leaders, the action in the leading stocks, as well as what the indexes are doing. So the indexes are a lot easier because you know what they are. They're the S&P, they're the IWM, they're the NASDAQ, and so on. With the leaders, that's a little squishy, right? Because you have to decide what the leader is, and it's not, you can't just go into a screen and say, give me the leaders. It is, there's an art there. And there are different types of leaders. There's leaders, the high octane leaders, which this is. And then there's different ones that are more like quality leaders, or the ones that like an NVIDIA that people kind of think of as the theme of the hottest, AI is the hottest thing out there since the internet. And, NVIDIA is thought of as the leader there, whether it is or not, that's the impression. So if NVIDIA starts ripping, it gives you a feel for AI. If it breaks down, it gives you a different feel. So that's how I think people should be following SanDisk for the heat. And if the heat can still hold up, that's typically a market. So let's analyze this, because reading charts is an art. And so you want to look at, and I'm glad you've got the weekly on here. What we always do is look at what the stock has done in the past. So this thing, when it was in the $40 to $50 range, had a high tide flag, ran up, or was forming a high tide flag, ran up. That was a flagpole. That run up is your flagpole. Now, Bill would always say it's got to be 100%, pound the table, rules. It's got to be exactly 100%. Well, the reality is no. It can be 80, it can be 90%. In fact, when I did a big study on it, the 80 to 80 to about 95% outperformed the 100% or more flagpole in every way I sliced it, as far as no matter how I sliced it, it was just better. I think if I were to redo that, I would do instead of percent, I would do it in ATR terms, because I think that that's the better way to do it. But anyways, the point is, it's not that the ones that were more than 100% were bad. There were a lot of great ones there. But when people look at high tide flags, sometimes they get obsessed with the 100% thing, or, originally he would say a 20% pullback in the flag portion. So you got the flag pole, and then you've got the flag, and you normally want 20%. But the reality is, our models show that they can go as deep as 28%. So I'd round down to about 30-ish percent. But again, we should do those in ATRs. So what is that? You have a rapid advance, you hold in tight. What is that telling you? That the market was looking at it at a $40 to $50 stock, and in a blink of an eye, it's looking at it at a $260 stock and not giving that back. That is all the information you need, rather than a bar-by-bar analysis. Just the level of where it was in a big liquid stock that's holding up there, that people can get out of, and it doesn't go down. Then it does it again. Well, we have these in our models: Bethlehem Steel back in 1915-16 time frame, Axon, which is, Taser, back in the 03-04 time frame, where you have these building on each other. My and to a certain extent, a Qualcomm, even though it wasn't, there was only one high tide flag in there. You had this rapid advance and then a high tide flag. So this isn't something you see very often, but when you do, it's typically the leader in the market. So that's why I'm looking at this one. So we have this other high tide flag on top of the last one. Now, it's not as big of a move, but it's still more than adequate. Typically, you don't go sideways this long, but it's also what has happened with the market. If we didn't have the whole Iran thing, this one might have launched up, but we'll never know that. So that's it from a weekly standpoint. In the line that you drew there would be your entry point from a high tide flag standpoint. One other note on the high tide flags is, it's very common to get false starts in there, where you get an early breakout that fails, another breakout that fails, and then, sometimes three or four times. So you got to keep trying them, and that's not easy for a lot of people. Let's go to the daily, and it's not fun for everyone. Even if you can do it, it's not fun. And you can see how this one gave you multiple entries. So how do you look at this now? I would look at it as a double bottom, in as the flag portion. So you've got the double bottom going there. You also have the bounce off the 50. Not every time do you come down to the 50 and actually touch it. Sometimes you undercut it, sometimes you hold up a little bit above it, sometimes you hit the 10 week but not the 50. So it's in and around that area where it's finding support. So you've got that going for you. But how I was entering this was the shakeout plus three. So this is an old Livermore thing. And Bill interpreted it as a stock that is forming a base and hits a low. So that was your low point, then undercuts that and moves up 3 points or more from that low. That is your entry point. He would use that on $30 to $60 stocks. So I just decided that didn't make sense to me, so I changed it to a 5 to 10%, because $3 on a $30 to $60 stock is 5 to 10%. Makes more sense. Eventually, we'll switch that into an ATR. So this undercut that and went up between that 5 to 10%, and that's where I was buying it. Now, that 5 to 10% is an art. You've got to figure out where does it make sense. And taking out the highs of the prior day there, that is where, to me, it made sense. And we'll see how this plays out. But as I was saying, this is more important for the overall market. So if this one rolls, then this thing could go down fast. Like, if all of a sudden the theme of this space gets cold, I mean, this thing could go down to $200 in a blink of an eye. So if you're playing it, you really have to have an exit strategy. But certainly you wouldn't let it go underneath the low of Monday. But I would just watch this and see, is it able to get through the next buy point? So where's the next buy point? There's two, or there's actually three. Well, there's four. That's one. But I would say, so a downtrend But your prior resistance at your first ledge, I would actually use the ledge over. Yeah, you can do that. So it's five. So that one, but the one over to the left of it. So
This
the
one.
yes, that one. That's the
Yeah.
one where my eyes would go.
Great.
So they coincide, right? So that becomes your first entry. That is really meaningful. The downtrend is meaningful, but that prior resistance, and Bill was a big fan of prior resistance pivots. If you looked at his detailed notes, as I used to do, in his model books, although he would talk about downtrend in handles and downtrends in cups and the full thing, or in like the way you drew it, he was more in practice. He was really using prior resistance, just horizontal lines. I think they both make sense. I think they're both great, and especially when they coincide. So that downtrend, as well as that, that's where I'm going to be watching this. Right now, it's just like, okay, I'm just going to let it wiggle and wobble with a lot of stress, because this thing can move fast. And frankly, it's not really moving that much today. There's some other heat that's moving faster. Like, let's go to BE that you brought up, which I bought that one as well. That one, last time I looked, was no, that one
Come off
doesn't
a
look.
bit.
Yeah, that one doesn't. Another heat that I'm playing fastly. This is like kind of junk heat. But this one, the behavior of this one, is another one that I watch. There's no buy point in sight. This
Yeah.
is really extreme volatility, like extreme, extreme, extreme volatility. Makes SanDisk look like, Coca-Cola and Costco. So
Right.
just watch this one. Don't trade it. I would put a list together of all the heat. So what you can do is just do a custom screen for, an ATR above 80 with a RS above 97, and that would be your pile of stocks to look at, and then see which ones are holding up and which ones are breaking down. If you get a bunch of those breaking down, that's a sign, a very negative sign for the market.
And so to emphasize with Fastly, because I noticed especially yesterday, a lot of questions on this one. No buy point in sight, but a hold for those who own. How would you be scaling out of this one, Webby? What levels would you be looking at to take profits?
I'm looking at this one to sell defensively, because if it's going to work, it should really, really like have a massive move. So, if Charles Harris were here, he would be, I'm sure, like selling a little bit into this, like, because that's, or Scott, would be selling a little bit into this, because it's up, but it's not up that much, relative to how this one moves. I'm going to
Right.
be looking at lows of prior days. So the low of yesterday, and the why I was getting back into this one was the outside day upside reversal that we had on Monday. What is that? It traded outside the prior days, high and low, had a shakeout closing at the highs. I mean, if th that's a really powerful bar, because then it gives you that line in the sand that it already took out the lows there. So it shook out anybody who had stops, which including myself, because I was trading and I got stopped out along the way. And then turns and reverses, that's where you got to be willing to buy it back. So really, yesterday's low, at that point, I'd probably exit almost all of it, because it shouldn't do that. You've got to know what's normal and natural. What's normal and natural is today's action. What would not be normal and natural is taking out yesterday's low.
Right. Okay, one more question would be
Sure.
for folks who got into this previously, whether it was that powerful earnings breakout or one of these more aggressive reversal entries, is it too late to add, or are you still adding a little bit at these levels, Webby?
I haven't added today, because I was adding to I was adding to the BE. I'm not a fan that it just doesn't it didn't move up as much, but and to some other things. But the no, I would not add up here. Now I might add, but I always add on things that are up, like even a little
Yeah.
bit. And I would see Bill do that too. Like when I shared an office with him, he would be he would have tens of thousands of shares of something. He would still be calling up, Joan, buy me 100 shares. He would buy
Yeah.
little baby amounts. And it's just a product of force feeding, right? You're whatever is working the best, you're putting more of your capital. So, this morning I was just selling off things that, just weren't working right, just to have capital for free to add to the ones that are working. And this is as hard of a market as I've seen. It's frankly, since October, it has been so choppy that I think that's kind of a good thing, because I think we're all kind of in that space where, oh, you don't trust anything. You just don't, you don't want to buy strength. You only want to buy pullbacks, because you know what? Buying strength has not worked since October, period. Like maybe there's 5% of them have worked, but it just really hasn't. And I like that. Maybe it's the contrary nature that I have, that when people are like, you can't buy it that way, you've got to buy it in the dirt or what have you. So, and look, we've got a really scary war on our hands, and that's actually a good thing too. We're holding up in the midst of all the fear of, issues with energy and bigger things. A potential World War III is actually on the table. And so when you have that, but yet the market is still holding in there, it tells you know, what's going on. It's the whole AI thing is still working.
Okay, thank you so much, Webby. Let's go to Harold and Micron, MU. Also, a double bottom type formation forming here. Give us your thoughts on Micron.
Yeah, this was my own. Oh, okay. Yeah, this was one I was looking at. I was looking at a little bit different. I had a trend line drawn from that four, yeah, right there, for that 455 area going down. But so I think you did do that with SanDisk. So this is a similar entry, but I like that trend line, and that's something I've been looking at as far as Micron is concerned. But I do like the analysis that you and Webby did with SanDisk that applies to MU at the same time. And you got two stocks both in the same industry group. I mean, chart's almost exactly the same.
And just for the record, I'm trading that one too in the same way that with that. The whole shakeout plus three, high tide flag. And so, more importantly, I would look at this one as well as one of the leaders out there. And I just got to hand it to Chris for handling this one so well, man. He's been a he's had this for, I think. Chris, are you there? Down at 120 maybe or something like that?
Right, I bought the breakout.
Ah,
Nice.
you translate that into he's paying for lunch the next time we're together.
Yeah. I
This
mean, this has a lot going for it, right? You have that triple digit growth, the move here, support right at that 10 week. I know Chris loves seeing that. He hedged it on this recent pullback, and things are looking good and acceleration on the top line. So, Harold, you were saying?
I was a SanDisk, because you see MU's got earnings coming up next week. SanDisk was is have they reported earnings, or is that on the coming up soon?
Let's see. Nope, earnings are
Oh,
behind
okay.
us and not for another 2 months.
Yeah, because when we look at the two stocks, it's like, okay, side by side they almost look exactly the same, but I would probably say favor SanDisk, because you don't have earnings as something as that can quote unquote get in the way.
Yeah, sometimes the earnings can be very powerful, of course, to get in ahead of time. And of course, if you have cushion, and depending on your risk tolerance, some on the team will buy closer to earnings than others. So there are different strategies absolutely to use for earnings and or reasons to go with one over another, Harold,
Right.
to your point,
Right.
depending on your personal trading style. I think the other thing, Chris, if I could speak for him, what he liked about this was that relative strength line on the breakout that was leading. So that's another really important factor that a lot of us like looking at there. Okay, thank you for that, Harold. Ken, let's go to you. Many requests for NBIS, a news-fueled move here. And we will take a closer look at the daily chart. Tell us more about that news that you mentioned at the top of the show, as well as your view of the technicals here.
Yeah, well, first of all, Nebius has been a longtime customer of NVIDIA. They operate data centers that have a lot of NVIDIA chips that are powering. So they've been a long time chip buyer from NVIDIA. So NVIDIA is investing $2 billion into Nebius, and this is an interesting technical move by the stock here. It's obviously a technical breakout. It's a gap up, and it's a gap up that is holding here. So I could see why some people may be watching this and just to see how the gap holds throughout the day. So I've been pretty consistent. I will buy gaps up like this, especially if they hold throughout the day and during the final hour of trading, if the stock is still trading up near highs and buying demand is sustained. I think it can be a reasonable entry. So I'll continue to watch this, but I think it's holding very, very well here. Obviously, it's been a kind of a even though the relative strength rating of is strong at 95, it's been kind of moving, sideways for a period of time here. But the breakout is holding quite well here. And if the gains hold and then it starts to move sideways from here, this could mark another uptrend for the stock. So encouraging price action so far.
But in general, with this type of technical move, you would want to be looking for something that has higher quality fundamentals.
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite choppy. I think the company is still, they're still losing money. I mean, the revenue growth is obviously quite exceptional here. So I will sometimes make exceptions if you've got, really rip roaring revenue growth like Nebius Group has, and you're losing money. I mean, sometimes I'll make an exception. How's the fund sponsorship here too? Sometimes I'll wait fund sponsorship.
Let's check it out. Okay, so if we open this right-hand panel for everyone, we're adjusting our eyes to the new market surge. So you just open that little tab, and then the owners and funds panel is right there, similar to the old version. And then you can show fund ownership there. And then we can also sort the rank versus all funds. In theory here, but we can also just, it looks like it's sorting perhaps by alpha at the moment. What are your thoughts after just sort of glancing at
So
this
I mean,
and
this is really, really light. This is really light on the fund sponsorship side. I mean, but the fact that it NVIDIA obviously is a big sponsor here is a major plus. But 164 funds at the end of the first quarter, it's very, very light. So it the fact that they're based, I mean, they're based in a where they're headquartered in, I want to say, is it Australia or
Well, I can tell we're updating this, by the way, everyone.
yeah
And so
I
where you don't have
they're
to click on it, but this phone number does not look like a US
they're
phone number, I
they're
will
not
say
based in
that.
the US, so it doesn't have wide-ranging fund
Looks like
ownership,
the
but
Netherlands.
the Netherlands. Okay, thank
Okay,
you,
thank
Webby.
you. Is that where Justin is from? I can never remember where he's from.
No,
He's Danish.
he's a
That's
Dane.
not the same thing.
Right? It is. No, the Netherlands, Denmark, Dane. Oh my gosh, where's Justin? Where's my brain this morning?
Yeah,
So
no,
I'm gonna get
they're
roasted.
different. They're different.
Okay, good. My gut was right. And then I was like, oh my gosh.
They're not different to
Okay.
Chris, but to everyone else, the rest of the world.
It was an inside joke, by the way, everyone.
So
Okay, good.
in terms of data center operators though, Nebius is clearly proven that it is a major it's a major player. Market cap of 24 billion. So even though fund sponsorship is light, the fact that they're based in Netherlands, that's excusable. Obviously, Nvidia is a big sponsor at this point. So yeah, I think it's an interesting company, and obviously the revenue growth is you gotta pay attention to that 500% growth in the latest quarter. Not two losses in a row expected, but I still think it's an interesting name and one worth watching here.
And there's a question from the audience about, in terms of analyzing the fund sponsorship, not only are you looking at the number of funds, Ken, and that is very important, but also the quality of funds. So someone in the audience was asking, well, wait a second. I mean, you have A plus ranked funds in there. So how does that add to your analysis?
Well, I mean, it's good to see quality funds in the stock, but in the end, I think that
this is more important.
Yeah, I mean it's good to see funds with a good track record of performance, but in the end, the enormity of the fund managers buying is important. So if there's a fund that's been lagging the market for 3 years, but they're stepping in and starting to accumulate a 1-3% position, their buying power is the same as one that has been outperforming the market for a period of time too. So just, you know, the performance is important, but their sheer buying and selling power is the same whether they're leading or lagging the market. So yeah, I don't look at the A plus and C's as much as I do whether fund ownership is growing or stagnant.
Okay, great. Well, we'll keep an eye on this chart. And Ken, I also want to get your thoughts.
One other little bit of trivia: whenever you see the NV, you know, and a name that's usually a Netherlands, that's kind of like their. It's a corporate structure. It's if you see NV, it's probably Dutch.
That's good to know, Justin.
So that's different than being Swedish or Switzerland, Justin? Or are they the same?
We're all one people. Okay. We're all one people.
Okay. Ken, I want to go to you in NVIDIA. Widely followed and now back above the 50-day. What say you?
This is very interesting here because support at the 200-day a few days ago, and now it's just kind of moving above all of its moving averages here. So starting to show signs of life. We have a teeny weeny little quarter position on leaderboard here. Relative strength is looking better at 84. So very encouraged to see it back above all of its moving averages at this point. It still, you know, has got some overhead supply to work through here, but we will see. We've been patient with it. It's actually a relatively new holding for us, but we're going to be patient with it and hope it continues to rally here. But nice to see it back above all of its moving averages.
All right. Well, I need to issue mea culpa on NBIS. Ken, looks like the engineers put some little tricks in the new platform for us. And I did not catch that this list is now reversed. Used to, the old was at the top and the new was at the bottom. Thank you to our audience for smartly pointing out that the sponsorship has actually increased from 164 to 571.
Makes a lot more sense.
All right. So that changes things maybe a little bit, but still not quite that A plus elite earnings growth that we would typically like to see. But a notable catalyst here today for this stock, one that has interesting a sponsorship.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you know, material acceleration in fund ownership, and it makes a lot more sense. Especially in light of the material acceleration in revenue growth in terms of the data center expansion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll keep an eye on that NVIDIA as well. Let's go to Dell Webby. This is one that Chris highlighted recently, setting up within the handle here after that move on earnings.
Dude, I've got a Dell.
That's okay, the old commercial.
The old commercial. Yeah, I'm old. Okay, let's go to the monthly on this one. That went over like a lead balloon. So Dell used to be one of the best stocks back in the 90s. Then it went private. Michael Dell is a genius as far as I'm concerned, not just because he's out in Austin and all, but he really, he started with nothing, built this thing, went private, and then is public again. So when you look at the monthly, you got to put it in context of that. And that's why I brought that up. And even since it went public again, it's been a leader-ish. Why do I say that? Because the general trend of that RS line is up, but it hasn't been doing it in a nice way. So that's why you look at it on a monthly. And I look at the distance between the RS line and the moving averages and see how much white space and for how long do you have it. And you had a lot of white space there, but then it ended very quickly and not a nice way. So that gives you the context of what you're dealing with. Like, let's look at Nvidia on the monthly as well, as to contrast it, since Ken was just talking about that one. I mean, this one has been a true leader. Look at that time that it spends above those moving averages, just consistently being a leader, and still is a leader in the context of that RS line on a monthly is still well above its long-term one. So always look at monthly charts, and I would do that first to understand the character of the stock. So let's go back to what we were looking at.
Dell,
Dell, I
dude.
forgot. Let's go to the weekly chart and see what we see there. And can you put the quarterly stuff on the bottom?
Yeah, so for everyone watching, go to that utilities and then you can click that EPS and sales table, which the team spent a lot of time iterating on and perfecting. And I feel like you're pretty happy with it, Webby, right?
Yeah, well, we all had our different things that we wanted in, right? And this was the one I wanted in a big way, because this is what my eyes are used to. So now you've got an institutional looking product with Market Surge. That this is how Bill did it back way back when, before all of us were born. God, I'm the oldest one here. Ken, are you older than me? I'm 36. I think I'm the
Only
oldest.
slightly older than me.
Okay. So, anyways, what he would do is he would lay it out that way. And Bill didn't come up with that. He took that from another company that was even before him. So it's just this way the institutional products have always looked, where you have the quarterly data along the bottom. Why is that helpful? You can get more information, more quarters than when we did it vertically, in the old version, in the legacy. But on top of that, you can see, because the price will follow what the earnings are doing. So that's why we have the earnings line on there. But you can also see in time, like, okay, in the June 22 quarter, what did it do? And then you look up at the chart. It's a lot easier once you get used to it. I know this is probably going to be the biggest hurdle for people to get over, is seeing it in a different way, because it was very hard for me to see it vertically when I've been using it like this since the 90s. So you've got what's gone on historically, and then if you scroll over to the right, you see what the estimates are. So we put that thick line there. That's the difference between the actual, what we call actuals, what's already happened, versus the estimates on there. And this is by far my favorite. Even I like this even more than the fact that we added the candles in there. So,
But
oh, and the
is it
ATR.
tied? Is it tied with the ATR? It's got to be a tie.
Yeah, having the ATR up there, and I'm just so happy that everyone has welcomed me bringing the ATR into the IBD world, because it is, we're always evolving, and Bill was always evolving and changing from one thing to another over the years and decades, and that's what we just are going to continue doing, and that was one of the things.
And we are working on making this table sticky. We are aware that if you go to an index chart and then back to individual stocks, you have to re-enable it. Obviously, we don't want that to happen. So
Yeah, the team is,
we're
I
aware.
just, I'm
Yeah, go
sorry, I
ahead.
didn't mean to
Nope.
step on you. The team, the all teams involved with this are just working so hard, and there's so much to do. So just please be patient with everybody, and just keep reporting anything that you notice on there. And they're working really, really hard to get this to be perfect. And
Mm-hmm.
we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yes. Yes. Market surge at investors.com for questions and also to set up your charts and customize them. Our team can walk you through, and they're adding walkthrough videos all the time for members to that platform. So check those out.
I forgot to analyze this. So we got
Yeah.
3 weeks tight that are building on the weekly. So that's good. And on the daily, you've got going through a downtrend. So I think it's viable there, but I don't know that I would buy this ahead of a follow through day. Like I've got my positions on that I basically did on the upside reversal added to yesterday. And at this point, it's more like I'm going to let those bake. But if you don't have any exposure and you're looking to get something, earnings are behind you on this one. I think it is actionable as it's going through that alternative pivot. I would use yesterday's close as your exit if you bought it here, because if it goes down that much, then even start exiting at today's lows. But certainly at yesterday's close, I just wouldn't give it much room. Just because we don't have a follow-through day and we're not above the 21 and all.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on back to Harold, I would love you to take a look at MRVL. So another chip stock for you. What do you think about how this one's acting? Does it pass the test or does it need more work?
It needs a little bit more work. This is another one I've been looking at. You see the pattern wreck has picked up that double bottom, and that traditional pivot would be some place where I think this stock would be actionable. So I know I do have an alert set for the stock and stock I've traded in the past, and so yeah, it is on my definitely on my radar as a potential buy.
Okay. A very different chart, a former leader, Harold here, having an interesting week. This is CRDO, and it's trying to make a comeback, but it's below some decline major moving averages that are declining. So, especially that 50-day. So, what do you say here to the audience?
Exactly. So it's below two major moving averages, the 200-day and the 50-day. You can see the 50-day is in a downtrend, definite downtrend. And the way it looks like, if it gets up to, you have those two moving averages converging right now, if it gets up to that level, that could be a strong resistance area. Or if it pops up above that would be a nice breakout. So this stock is one of those wait and see. You set an alert for the 200-day or the 50-day, either one, because as you can see, they're converging. But for now, I'd have to wait and see. What's it going to do once it gets up to that 200-day? Is it going to break out above it and then eventually get above the 50-day? And if it does something like that, then I'll reassess it and go from there.
All right, Ken, numerous requests for Caterpillar. Why don't you give us an update?
Yeah, first of all, not seeing a whole lot of market reaction. It looks like the International Energy Agency is going to release 400 million barrels of oil from their strategic reserves. Oil is might have paired gains a little bit, now up 2.7%, 85, 75 a barrel. Market is not NASDAQ up 0.3%, S&P now flat. Not seeing a whole lot of reaction to that news, but the IEA is releasing 400 million barrels, so oil might have come off highs just a little bit, now up 2.7%. So anyway, that's the story. That's the story there. And then Caterpillar
Yep,
is
fell in there.
a name that we added to the leaders list yesterday, and it got pulled down, ended with a gain yesterday. You can see it gave back a gain yesterday, and it is lower today by just a little bit, but it has climbed off lows. And let's take a look at the weekly chart and just see what support at the 10-week line looks like so far this week. And yeah, so you know, hopefully by the end of this week, we're going to have a nice blue bar, and the stock you know, holding well in the upper half of its weekly range here. And you know, we'll see what support looks like at the end of the week. But seeing a lot of stocks right now making, you know, good tests of the 10-week moving average. And if the market can hold itself together this week, hopefully these weekly charts will still look like good tests of the 10-week line by the end of the week. But again, Dave and I, yesterday when we were watching the market, we were seeing a lot of stocks reversing higher above their 50-day lines yesterday. So we'll see what it looks like by the end of the week. But Caterpillar, after that recent breakout from a flat base, so far making a nice test of the 10-week moving average here. So we took a shot.
Anything else, Ken, in the industrial sector that you're tracking right now? Anything that comes
Anything
to
else in
mind?
the industrial sector? Let me just have to take you know, well, there was a utility that I was looking at coming down to its 10 week moving average that had some data center exposure that I was looking at. I want to say it was NEE. Take a look at NEE.
In
So,
EE,
yeah, this
let's go
was
there. I know I threw you a
yeah,
curveball
no, I
there.
mean, and it's not an industrial, but let's look at the weekly chart here. This was just an industrial coming down and testing its 10-week moving average, and again, it's just a, you know, a big safe utility here, and coming down and making a test of its 10-week line for the first time after after a breakout. And again, just looking at at some utilities because it's still an area that is leading the market. Relative strength line has backed off highs just a little bit, but still seeing utilities leading the market here. And again, some data center exposure here. Again, if support holds here and the stock bounces, you know, this is a name that I was a name that I was looking at. But again, utilities are still showing some strength in the market here, and a name that is still technically looking pretty interesting.
Thank you. Webby, anything else in the heat territory that's looking interesting today?
Mike,
Oh.
you're on mute.
Oh my gosh, I have to add so much to that page.
Yeah. Yeah, we should start adding a time element
Yes,
to how much you
every second
owe.
is like a
Yeah.
buck. I another one I'm trading is that VRT. Let's go for a second. It is not super heat, but in kind of along those lines, is way out of position here. Monday was the only place that you really could have bought it, and it's a tiny position for me, and I think it was added to the S&P, and that was a part of it, if I'm not mistaken. But I like how it handled itself post earnings. In there, it looked very, you know, classic, holding and tight, and it felt like it wanted to go higher, but all the everything that was going on with the war and everything was just keeping it volatile, which is normal and natural. Yeah, it's acting okay, but this would be another one that I just put in that list to monitor. And occasionally Bill would have us do that. He would ask all the PMs, just say, okay, give me all the leaders and then give me the ones that are broken. And then we would go through that. And it was a subjective way of looking and saying, okay, what percent of the leaders are broken? Now, he would do that from a weekly standpoint. And more, you know, if you're getting into serious trouble in a bear market where it was a big intermediate correction, not like what we're going through now. So I would just do that same thing on a small time frame. So instead of on a weekly, the way he would do it, look at it on a daily and go, okay, the VRT, if that undercuts Monday's low, that's a broken chart in the short term. Not broken on a weekly, but broken on a daily, and just line up all those and say, okay, well, I've got, you know, more than 51.5% of them are broken. that would be a problem.
Okay. We will keep that in mind as we proceed. Harold, are you ready for your option trade?
Not quite. Can we?
Not quite. Okay.
Yes, school
We'll
another
give you one
round.
and we'll go around the horn again. You know what we do need to discuss is Oracle. A lot of folks out there are seeing a stock that's up 12% today, but let's give them some added context, the IBD perspective on this chart.
Yeah, so you had that nice that gap up on earnings and came right up to that 50-day, which is sloping down and looks like it's testing it and might not be passing the test. So I think, yeah, or it would have to get up above the 50-day and hold that at least today. And I'd like to see it do it another day because you do have a lot of overhead resistance. If you look to the left, there's a little bit to the left. You got that overhead resistance, so that might act as a lid onto the stock here, but it's got to hold that 50-day. That would be my bottom line before I consider this stock anywhere close to being actionable.
Okay. Thank you for that. Let's go to Ken and TSM bouncing off of the 50-day this week.
Yeah, I mentioned we added this to leaderboard yesterday, and I joined leaderboard. I bought this after it left the restricted list. So I own this one along with leaderboard, and this was just another nice reversal above the 50-day moving average. So TSM crossed the 350 level yesterday, and then got pulled down with the broad market, but nice to see it extending gains today. So this was another add yesterday, and yeah. So this is again when you look at the weekly chart, again just another stock yesterday that was just making a nice test this week of the 10-week moving average. So we thought it was worth a shot here after a recent breakout here. I also mentioned that we added FPS Forgent, which is that distributor of electrical equipment to data centers. That one has turned nicely today. If you look at the daily chart, I also followed the leaderboard on this one. Added this one after it left the restricted. This is still flirting with a buy point from an IPO base, kind of wide and loose in the early stages of being a publicly traded company. But if it's trying to break out from an IPO base, so I think it's worth a shot here. So it has turned slightly higher here, and so we gave these two a shot yesterday, but. Excited to see TSM outperforming today, and FPS also turning higher here with the Nasdaq. Even though the market has kind of given back some gains here, Nasdaq barely positive, and S&P down about 0.2% now.
So there's a look at the Qs and SPY showing what Ken is talking about there. All right. Thank you guys. Let's follow up on something from Monday's show, Webby, and that is Teradyne. Scott was playing this one.
That's so funny. I literally just wrote that down to talk about next because you were asking me about heat and stuff. So this is pseudo heat. And I thought I listened to Scott on Monday's show, and I just love how he trades, frankly, and how he explains it. I trade differently in a lot of ways, but more similar than you would think in others, but. This was a key one, right? An outside day, almost an outside day. I'm not sure if it took out Friday's high, but it looks like close enough. Outside day in spirit or an outside day. Support at the 50-day has been a leader. Let's look at the weekly to get to truly get that sense. There, I mean, in finding support exactly where it should, where it has in the past, and where you would expect it to. Find support. RS line has been super strong this whole way. Let's go back to the daily. And with this, where is it broken? It's clearly broken underneath Monday's high. It could even undercut yesterday's low and still not be broken, just because yesterday didn't have a good close. So you have to look at it and go, within the context of what did it do, is that okay? So what I would do is do a kind of a 50% retracement from the lows of Monday to the high of today, because it looks like we had a higher high. And as long as it's in the northern hemisphere of that it's still healthy. Would you like it to go higher? Yes, but it's not in a setup where a certain, there's a certain level besides Monday's low that is clearly broken, but it would be unhealthy in the lower part of that 50% retracement. Make
Okay.
sense?
Yeah,
Okay.
definitely. Okay. So we're keeping tabs on that one, but looking good for those who got in earlier in the week. Similar, we'll go to Ken with one, and then Harold, will you be ready for the option trade?
Yes.
Okay, great. So Ken, let's have you talk about Powell Industries. A pullback and a bounce here.
Yeah, I know Hatman was talking yesterday about a lot of these great earnings reports in the AI infrastructure space, FIX, FIX, and Powell had a great earnings report. You can see that strong move over the 500 level, and yet another stock, right, that came down to the 50-day moving average a couple of days ago on Monday, and the weekly chart again just showing a nice bounce off the 10-week moving average. How far is it off the 10-week? It's probably 4 or 5% off the
Check it out. So we'll
10-week
enable
line.
track price here, and we're about 10%, 9.9.
10%. Boy, it doesn't look 10% off the 10-week line. But
Yeah,
I would say that this is buyable here. But we consider 10% off the 10-week line is probably, a little extended here. Great example of a first test of the 10-week line. So if it, maybe pulls back a little bit, you could buy it off the first test, but probably a little bit extended here. But just a classic first test after a breakout here. So good one to watch. Maybe it pulls back more into a buy zone here. Otherwise, it might just form a base, and you get another opportunity to buy. But great AI infrastructure stock here.
yeah. And there are different ways of looking at how extended a stock is or not. Looking at those moving averages and the percent above, but also the ATR. Webby, give us the ATR perspective on this one.
Thank you. Look, using the, am I still there? My thing froze. Can you hear me?
Yep,
Yep.
we
Okay,
can hear you.
perfect. Okay, so you always want to
There's
put in context what the ATR is, and think of things in terms of ATRs from a level. So if it's a let's call it a 6 ATR, and it's 10% from there, it's less than 2 ATRs from the moving average. I would re In the future, when we get through all of the stuff that we're currently working on with for market surge beta, which will be market surge, sooner than sooner more sooner than folks think, that once we get through all of the growing pains, I want to add the ATRs from moving averages, because that's the way that I would look at it. Because let's say we were looking at Walmart or Costco with a low the go to yeah go to Walmart. That has a 2.7 ATR. What is Costco?
Let's check it out.
Two,
Even
yeah.
lower.
So, and if this is 10% from a moving average, it's a lot different than the other one we were looking at, Powell, that is 10%. So you want to, I would just say, redo your thought process, but look at, you can see it by just looking at the chart. So I would never, under any circumstances that I could think of, look at the percent from a moving average unless I was just using it for my stop.
Yeah, I
I
think
would
that's
look
what a
at,
lot of folks are doing, but
I don't think so based on what they're saying, but I just, that's how I look at it. Does that chart look Too far from the moving average? No, let's go to the daily.
I think maybe one thing as well for in terms of ATR education is so if this is two ATRs above the moving average, it can you go how many ATRs above is acceptable, right? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? How stretched can you go? I think there's a little bit of a learning curve
Yeah,
there
there was a big
that
learning
people
curve.
aren't that people aren't familiar with yet, and we don't have that visualization on the chart.
So what I would do is the same way I've always approached it, by never looking at the moving average, the distance. Bill never looked at it ever, in real time, not once. I went over thousands of charts from with him, and he never said, "Oh, this is X percent." Now, the only time that he would look at it would be in hindsight, when something had gone through a climax top, and you would look at the distance versus its 200-day moving average. So I would look at the chart itself. So forget even the ATR. That I would just look at it and say, is this normal and natural? And it's normal and natural on the weekly. Now let's go to the daily to see it a little bit more on a granular level and see, does it look extended? Now, this is just my take. I have a very strong opinion on it, but what I would do is say, okay, where do you know that you're wrong? You know that you're wrong at the low from Monday. How far are you from there? And go, could I withstand that or not? And use it from a stop level. It's just say, find your level. Now, sometimes that becomes a moving average. It comes the 21 day, it comes a 50 or something like, or even a 10 day for some folks. And then look at it in those terms and say, okay, well, it's 10% from the 21 day, and that's my line in the sand. So then I'm going to have to adjust my position size. So there's a place for it, but not in that it's too far. Because I look at this, and the way I would look at it too far is the line that you drew, the distance from there, and just say, okay, you're extended from your entry point. Because sometimes these entry points where you know that you should be buying it are going to be, well, do it on Mondays, for example. Go to Monday's date, because I think this is helpful. And that is what I can't read it. How far is that from the moving average, the 50 day?
It closed 12.4% above the
Okay.
50 day.
So if you think the 10% from a moving average is too much, that's where the buy point is on this. Even yesterday, really, as it was truly breaking, was your buy point, and then therefore you couldn't buy it. I always try to think in terms of if I was going to put it into a black box, into a computer, and I'd say, okay, buy it if it breaks a downtrend, but then don't buy it if it's more than X. And then the X would be versus its moving average. And those two can't go together, like, because you won't buy anything if you use that. And then you'll have to decide, oh, I'm going to throw it out this time. And then it turns into this squishy, thing. And I think it's just beyond problematic.
All
That's just my
right.
two cents.
Yeah. Well, I think where the team strategies do overlap is on that risk management e equation, right? We all are managing risk. Some we're looking at different time frames, we're looking at different levels, we trade different ways, but having this ATR as a part of the toolbox and an increasingly important part of the toolbox is something that we're all really excited about. So thanks for adding that POV to the discussion. Okay, Harold, I think I may need to make you co-host, and then we'll have you take it away for this week's option trade.
Okay.
But first, we'll have you analyze the chart, the setup of this XBI chart here.
Yeah, so you see the 50-day moving average going through the base there. I use that as my strike selection. A lot of people ask me, well, how did you choose your strikes? Well, I'm using that 50-day as my short strike in this trade. So you could either, if you're going to do the option, you maybe follow along what I'm doing, or if you're just going to buy the shares, use that 50 day as your line in the sand or the support off the 50 day. In either case, it works here. So let me share my screen here.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so yeah, you should be seeing my thinkorswim platform. So again, doing a bull put spread on XBI, the BioMed ETF. And oh yeah, there it is. So there's a ticker symbol there. So I'm looking for price appreciation. So I'm going to start by going out to the April 17th expiration. That's 37 days to expiration. I'm going to start by selling the 125 strike there. I'm going to sell that. And again, that's right where the 50-day moving average is. So I'm using that as my short strike. So selling the 125, I'm going to buy the 120 for my protection there. So that's going to give me a credit of $1.83. My numbers are based on, what did I have? $1.69. Wow. Okay. So let me just lower that so my numbers match. So $1.69. All right. So now I'm going to click on confirm and send. I'm going to look at the break even. The break even, you see that 123.31. That is right at Monday's low, which was happens to be the day one of the attempted rally. All right, so let's look at some numbers. We're going to look at the probability of success and how many contracts are going to put to work based on the numbers that we're going to analyze. So I got my notes here on the left side. So the probability of success, a two-step process to calculate this number. First thing we do is we take the width of the spread, which is just the difference between the strikes, which is $5, minus the credit received at $1.69. That's going to give us a number of $3.31. Or in options, we always multiply by 100. So that's $331. So that's our actual risk in this trade, the risk per contract in this trade. Now, to determine the probability of success, we take that actual risk, which is $3.31, divided by the width of the spread, multiply by 100. That's going to give us a number of 62, 66.2%. That should be a six there. So 66.2%. That's our probability of success. And again, I like when that number is in the mid 60s to mid 70s. So a nice number in the probability of success. Now, our return on risk. If we happen to hold to expiration, to calculate what that return would be, you take the credit received at $1.61 divided by the risk in the trade, which is $3.31, multiply by 100, you get 51.06%. Nice return over a 37-day period there. And again, that's if you hold the expiration. Now, how many contracts can I put to work based on the numbers that we've seen so far? So we've been using $2,500 as our risk capital. So you take that $2,500 divided by the actual risk in the trade. That's going to give us a number of 7.55, or we'll go with seven contracts. Now, what are we going to do to manage the trade? The stop loss. BE is break even. The break even at 123.31, as I mentioned a moment ago, that is right around the mark this last Monday, March 9th, that low, which happens to be day one of the attempted rally. So I'll be using that as my stop loss. I'm going to take profits at 50% of the credit received. So that in this case, that's 85 cents. I'll be looking to manage the trade at 21 days to expiration. So if I'm still in the trade and this number is at 21, then I'll make a decision as to what I want to do. I'll take a small loss, small profit, roll it to buy some time. I'll make that decision if I'm still in the trade at and this number is at 21 days of expiration. And if the trade is up 25% or more within the first 3 trading days, I will just close the trade out and take profit. So seven contracts. I need to change that number to seven. And let's see where we are. Where are we on the credit? Okay, pretty close. All right. I'm gonna click on lock that in. Performance in again, the break even right around Monday's low, and then the buying power close to that $2,500. So I'm gonna click on send, and that's our trade today on XBI.
Awesome. Thank you,
Can I
Harold.
ask Harold a
Go
question?
ahead. Yeah.
Harold, what percent, I'm just curious, what percent of your trading do you do with options, and which ones, and what do you do with stocks, and which one is more active? I've just wondered.
Yeah. So, beginning of this year, I raised my options to 60% of my overall portfolio. So I'm like 60-40 stocks. Not 60-40, maybe 60-30, and I like to have about 10% of cash.
Okay, that's cool. And so are you
And
putting
are you
on? more active with?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Nope,
Yeah.
go.
Well, to answer your question, Mike, yeah, I am more action with the options at the moment because just not really a whole, I'm not real comfortable with buying stock now. So the options are a little bit are a lot more capital efficient, so it doesn't take much as much capital to play the option versus owning the shares.
And in terms of your the stock side of your portfolio, and I'm sure a lot of us have multiple portfolios and different time frames and things like that, but I know at least at one point you had a very low cost basis in NVIDIA, kind of like
Oh
how
yeah.
Arnie has talked about some of you
Yeah.
guys. Once you have a really big cushion, you are using even longer term signals and giving the stock a lot of
Yeah,
room. So do you still own NVIDIA?
no, I no longer
Okay.
I got rid of NVIDIA just before I went on vacation in the beginning of December. So
Oh.
it just wasn't doing anything. So I
Yeah.
said, let me just take the money and run.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it hasn't done much of anything since then, Harold. So it's, yeah, I've been missing out. All right. Thanks so much. I'm gonna
I'm gonna
start
stop.
screen sharing again. So
Me
thank
stop
you.
my share.
Okay, let's stick with this biotech theme. Ken, I know you love tracking the biotechs. Let's get your thoughts on Ligand Pharmaceuticals, LGND.
Yeah, great follow through after a somewhat tepid breakout yesterday. Got pulled down with the broad market, but stock benefiting today from a Bank of America buy initiation, and I believe the price target was 244, so it doesn't have too much to go to get to that price target. But yeah, this is an interesting company. Just like the gold streamers, they provide upfront capital to the miners, and then they take a piece of the they get royalties from the gold production. Ligand does the same thing in the pharmaceutical and biotech industry. So they provide upfront money to drug makers and biotechs, and then when the drugs hit the market, they get royalties from these drugs. So they have a royalty model, and kind of an interesting business, and a nice breakout. So out of a buy zone now, but good one to follow because I usually like to just keep track of technical breakouts and watch how they trade post breakout. If they hold gains and trade sideways, they often can present alternate entries. So good looking breakout here, and kind of watch it and see if we get an alternate buy point.
All right. Thank you so much. Just responding to a question in the Q&A. Let's get into a lightning mode and final thoughts here, team. So submit your tickers for lightning mode. Let's go real quick. I believe in all of you. DOCN Webby.
So silly, extended.
Let's go to MOS Harold.
Wait.
PBR, Ken.
What, refiners are outperforming today, but don't chase it.
Okay, mRNA, Webby.
Watch.
NVMI, Harold.
Sport off the 50.
MDLN Ken.
Watch list.
Sienna Webby.
I hesitated on mRNA because I couldn't remember if I owned it. I just checked. I do own it. Sienna, watch.
Okay, let's go to IRM Harold.
Yeah, watch.
GLW Ken.
Yeah, bye.
All right, LITE, last one here, Webby.
I just loved Ken's reaction to that one. We should clip that. That was good, dude. I was like, what is he gonna say? Watch, and I would circle back to this later just to for a point.
Well, let's do it now because
Okay,
we're
so when we were
the sun
talking
is
about one
setting.
when we were talking about ones to watch as far as broken or not, this is one that I would say, because it's been so volatile over the last couple of weeks, that it doesn't matter what it does in the context of, remember I was saying, like SanDisk and Micron and those things, that like there were key levels if it was broken. So I would put it in the mix, like AAOI, VIAV, things like that, that they can do whatever and work or not work, and it would not impact my market analysis. The other ones would, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, I don't know if we have time. How many things do you have to say on that the historical NASDAQ stuff? Do you think you could do it in a few minutes?
I could be quick. Yeah, I could be quick.
Okay. So let's
UFA,
go ahead and do
UFA.
that. So the first date that we want to look at is in
Let's
January.
look at our current chart
Okay,
first
we'll do the
on
current chart
NASDAQ,
first.
just
There we go.
to get that in everyone's mind. Okay, what do you want to focus on is that black line, which is the 200-day, and the bounce that we had off of that, because that was a major line in the sand. Now we're going to look at two different types, and you can go to the first one, two different times in history. And Allie and I went over more of these on Friday's SMT. So after the show, I would go back and watch that. And I think it was at the beginning of the show. So I would just watch at least that part. So this one was getting support, a very similar look. You had this uptrend, it had been choppy for a while. Then you got this bounce in support where it should. Let's see how it handled itself at the next date.
Boom.
And boom. So that's what you want to see. And that's why I'm saying to stay mentally flexible to any outcome. This is the outcome that we would prefer. And then on there, on that fourth day, that's where you're looking for that confirmation. And then remember, it's the 21 day, a close above the 21 day, a low above the 21 day, and closing up on the day. And then three consecutive lows above it and closing up. So let's go to the next date.
Okay, our next date is also in 96. We're going to go to 7-Eleven of 1996.
And so this one doesn't work
So
out
later that year.
later that year. So now this comes into the 200 day, and look at how it acted on that, not the way we saw on the last example, which is right over there, or recently this week. This is in a weak position, closing near the lows, not bouncing off of there. So the bulls didn't come in and support it. And let's see what ended up happening.
Okay, we're gonna fast forward a few months to 11/22 of 1996.
And you can see how much worse it got at that level. And that's why you always want to be super cautious around a 200 day. If it can't hold a 200 day, really bad things can happen. So if we come back around and do undercut Monday's low, man, you've got to be very, very, very cautious. I mean, I'm sure I would be out of the market except for some long-term positions. But even so, eventually you got your follow-through day, and then you got through your 21 day and everything else that we talked about. So even if it gets really ugly, look how quickly things can turn. That's why you want to always be screening and always be on top of it.
Right.
I did
So,
good.
yeah, is it safe to say that those are your final thoughts, Webby, or do you have anything else
Yeah.
you'd like to quickly add?
That's it. That's fine.
Okay, cool. Let's go to Harold, final thoughts.
Well, my final thoughts, as I pointed out at the very beginning of the show, it looks like the breadth is weakening based on what we see with the RSP and the NYSE. So I would say wait for that follow-through day. We need some confirmation that this market is turning around, and we've got a possible move to the upside. So I'm not going to be in a hurry to buy anything until the market improves.
Okay, and Ken, please wrap us up.
Okay. Well, seeing the Nasdaq up 0.4%, S&P 500 holding on to a small gain. Just wanted to mention a couple of stocks here, STRL, Sterling, or it's actually yeah, Sterling Infrastructure. We're kind of still flirting up 3 days in a row, retaking a buy point here. Interesting name, volatile action after a breakout here. So just still watching this name, and then an interesting name in the storage group doesn't get a lot of attention. SIMO, SIMO. This is a company that technically competes with Micron and Western Digital, SIMO, yet another stock that is testing its 50-day moving average, Silicon Motion. They also deal in the flash memory market, but they specifically make the controllers. So you look at the weekly chart here, another stock making a nice test of its 10-week moving average on the weekly chart, Allie. Yeah, let's just take a look at the weekly chart here. Nice test of the 10-week moving average. And again, just a name that isn't talked so much about in the data storage group, along with Micron and Western Digital. So, and fundamentals very strong here as well. If you look forward, very, very nice earnings and revenue growth here. So, yeah, and you can just you can see that nice turnaround story and good bottom line and top line growth. So another name I'm watching in the data storage group, and so just a couple names I'm watching here, and leaders list looking pretty good today. So we'll hope for a hopefully a nice orderly day for the market. I'm not going to hold my breath here. It seems like we're probably going to see some more chop and volatility until the situation in Iran and the oil market resolves itself. So probably more chop, and we'll try to navigate as best we can here. So be careful out there, and we'll see what happens.
Hey,
All
Allie,
right.
I do have something I needed to add because I'm seeing a lot of questions because I don't think I was did a good job before on things like Lyte and VIAV. So let's go to either of them on a daily chart. My where I was trying to go with this was these aren't set up to give you a clear expectation because we were sticking straight up at the highs, and then we had what on that top day, then you had an expectation breaker the next day where that's not normal or natural where you have a close at the highs and then you have a gap down like that, but that was in the context of everything that was going on. Then you come down in such a violent way in that bottom day, closing at the lows. That whole chart was all over the place, which is fine. It's still above the 50 and all of that stuff. If you're in it from much lower, you can still give it time. But I was saying for the market analysis of a clear leader in a position where it shouldn't do this one thing. This thing could come down and undercut Monday's low and eventually, find support at the 50-day and still be okay. There's not a clear line in the sand. It's just, is it living in the upper half of the top day and Monday's low or Friday's low? That gives you a sign, is it healthy or not? But there's no clear expectation. Same thing with VIAV. Same basic feel, not saying that it's not been a leader, but there's no, it's not a certain line in the sand is going to completely break the chart. That could just be it's in a downtrend right now until proven otherwise, trying to get support along the way, but it can go lower and still be viable eventually. Whereas let's go over to SanDisk, which of course, as I said, I had a position in. If that undercuts, then it becomes a broken chart. And your expectation is a lot lower. And that's one of the reasons why I was trading is like, okay, if the bulls are going to support it, then they're really going to have to step up here because otherwise it becomes a broken chart and broken charts can get, a lot worse. I hope That makes sense. The
Does.
last thing I was going to say is I won't be there on this Friday's SMT because I will be traveling, but this Saturday I do have a Webby Rambles on the SMTs. I'm starting a new series there where Allie and I go over a bunch of different market charts each week on Friday's SMT. I hope everyone watches that, and I don't get the time to really explain how I'm looking at it. So each one of those ones, I'm going to do a whole segment on there. It's on my YouTube channel, Webby5150. So this is going to be going over my newest indicator, which is the Webby Fib trend on there, and all those charts
You're
where
such
I
a
have,
fibber.
I am, I try, and all those moving averages on there, plus that indicator that eventually we will get put into market surge, when we can. But I'll walk through why I use it, how I use it, and all of that good stuff. And so it'll be a
That's
companion
great.
to our Friday SMTs.
It will be, and it's great because that show is long enough already.
That's what I figured. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
stopping and having to explain every time, it's so great to have that as a resource to point people to. So thank you for doing that. Good stuff and happy travels to you. Thanks so much to Ken and Harold and Webby for a great show. We're going to get the episode up on investors.com/IBD Live shortly, along with later today, our ready list, watch list, and edited Q&A. Be sure to keep tabs on investors.com throughout the trading day and beyond for all the latest stock market news and analysis. We'll be back at the close, Ken and I, for our Stock Market Today video, and then Justin, as he covered on the podcast, with Jay Wood. So see you there. And then the Thursday crew has your back tomorrow. So we'll see you then, everyone. Bye now.